Massachusetts' new color, magenta.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The polls were right in what has solidly been the blue Bay State. The Senate seat of the liberal lion, Ted Kennedy, now belongs to an up-and-comer from the other party. Republican Scott Brown campaigned on blocking some of President Obama's agenda. And now it's up to Democrats in the U.S. Senate to find a way, any way, to proceed with its filibuster-proof majority, to proceed without it, I should say. Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale joins us live this morning with a fallout and a look forward as well. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what changes do you expect when this 41st Republican takes his Senate seat?
Well, it's definitely going to be a less friendly legislative atmosphere for Democrats. Moderate Democrats, especially those who are up for re-election this year, are going to be less likely to sign on to White House policies because now they have evidence that voters think the president may be overreaching with his proposals to impose changes on the health care, banking, and energy industries. I reached University of Maryland business professor Peter Morici this morning, and he says yesterday's election is going to force Democrats to recalibrate their agenda.
Folks embrace Scott Brown because they're simply suspicious of any more government from Barack Obama. Watching the United Auto Workers stuff their pockets with TARP money without reforming those companies, watching the banks benefit from low interest loans and stuff their pockets with taxpayer money, that's why they voted for Scott Brown. They are disgusted.
All right. So how, John, will Scott Brown change the push for financial regulatory reform in the Senate?
Well, he's opposed to the bank fees that the White House wants to levy on big banks to force them to pay back the loans they got from the government. And Brown, like most Republicans, worry that the president's proposed independent financial consumer protection agency will put a heavy government burden on banks and stifle lending to small businesses. So the regulatory reform bill that's already passed the House is going to find a rougher sledding now in the Senate.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, let's check some numbers. European markets are mostly lower right now. Everyone's off about a quarter or a half a percent or less. Major Asian markets closed down as well. The Hang Seng gave back nearly 2%. The Chinese index lost almost 3%. Stock futures point to a lower opening on Wall Street today. Yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ shot up more than a percent. The Dow tacked on 115 points to end the day at 10,725. Well, it was a four-month fight for British chocolatier Cadbury, but yesterday it finally agreed to a takeover by the U.S. food giant Kraft. The final price comes out to just under $20 billion. But as Christopher Worth reports from London, the news left a whole lot of sad and concerned people in its wake.
40 years ago, Phil Davis started this little clothing store in the shadow of Cadbury's factory in Bourneville, just outside Birmingham. The town was built by the Quakers who founded Cadbury 186 years ago. Davis says that when the chocolate is being made, the smell wafts in through the shop door.
We love everything about Cadbury's and what it stands for. And I think, you know, this is the last great British company that we've got.
Many here oppose the Kraft takeover. For the British, Cadbury is almost as part of the culture as William Shakespeare. David Bailey is with Coventry University. He says Brits have a strong emotional attachment to the company.
Many of us grew up eating Cadbury chocolate. It's different to American chocolate. It's a kind of nuttier, more caramelly taste to it. So to have it taken over is a kind of huge issue for many of us because we think back to our childhoods. And there is a fear about an American takeover of a much-loved British company.
Workers here worry that with all the borrowing Kraft will have to do to finance this deal, job cuts will be soon to follow. Cadbury employs around 7,000 people in the UK and Ireland. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
The Federal Housing Administration's upping its mortgage insurance premiums and tightening lending standards. Losses from foreclosures have affected the FHA's reserves, so it's trying to strengthen its balance sheets. Some borrowers may even have to put up larger down payments. It's the second time in 2 years it's boosted those fees.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
President Obama is expected to soon name a special commission to come up with a plan to tackle the nation's huge budget deficit. Now, the panel would be bipartisan and would present a plan after the November midterm elections. Something else on the front burner is government transparency. It was a campaign promise Mr. Obama touted while running for president. The White House has ordered by the end of the month some high-value government data be available online at data.gov. And as Brett Neely reports, open government may be good for business.
You may think the government just churns out paperwork. Michael DeConta sees all that as valuable information.
When you think about how much work actually goes on in the federal government, whether it's research or whether it's operational type work, there is just massive amounts of data.
DeConta is a computer expert who helped set up data.gov. He says the site is a potential goldmine for clever entrepreneurs.
To actually exploit that data takes other websites that would then turn around and use the data from data.gov.
Whole empires have already been built from government data made public, says Jake Brewer of the Sunlight Foundation Advocacy Group. He says, look at the Weather Channel that's now worth billions.
That is all taking live information, but that's government information that's been made free many years ago.
Brewer thinks if the government really follows through, entrepreneurs will create more jobs than the stimulus package has. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
And finally, think of it sort of as an entitlement. David Froelich of Delaware County, Ohio, actually got $1,500 for being bitten by a rabid bat. County leaders were surprised about a state law that provides anyone bitten by an animal with rabies can claim the money for medical reimbursement. The code stipulates the bitten person must ask for the money within 4 months. David Froelich was 2 days late, but commissioners in Delaware County voted to give him the money anyway. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Hey, catch us online at marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.